So as we get ready for the word, I want to share a word with you, prophecy. And prophecy is often misunderstood. We really think of it as this prediction, which it can be. In the Old Testament, the prophets predicted God's wrath, and they predicted God's praise. They predicted what God would do. But that's not the only kind of prophecy there is. There's a more widespread prophecy, and that prophecy is a prophecy about our lives. It's a prophecy on you. It's a prophecy on me. It's a prophecy on every one of us. It's an ability to speak into somebody else's life and be prophetic about what God is going to do in their life. It's an encouragement. It's a prediction, all right? But it's not a worldwide prediction as much as it's an individual prediction. And so as Paul is working with Timothy, and this is this amazing, not just a partnership, but almost a father-son relationship, a brother-to-brother relationship, a mentorship, as he's pouring into him, he's trying to prepare him to take on this church, to take on this ministry. He's trying to show him things that he's learned. I think every parent can relate that we try to show our children the things that we've done, especially our mistakes. Like, you know, you don't want to drink and drive. I did that. That wasn't a good idea. That gets you into a lot of trouble. It can get you, you know, messed up and physical and hurt other people. You don't want to do that, son. You don't want to do that, daughter. You don't want to be messing with those drugs. I played around a little bit, and I learned the hard way not to do that. And we want to teach our children not to do the things that we've done and not to have to learn the hard lessons. But we also want to impart upon them wisdom that God has given us, and especially as we do ministry. As we do ministry, we take on a responsibility. I'll never forget when somebody prayed for me once, and they said, "You know, Pastor, I know what you're carrying." And they really just spoke into my heart, because at that time I was carrying a lot of load, not just my own personal load, but a load for somebody else. And mind you, we are confidential, so can't talk to anybody about it, but we're carrying this additional load. And so this individual spoke into my life that day. They were prophesizing into my life more than they knew. I can't tell you how many times friends have done that they say, "Hey, you know, I just had to call you and pray for you because you were on my heart this morning, and I felt a burden for you this morning." And I'm like, whoa, were you like the fly on the wall? Like, how do you know that I needed that? At this moment, I have one friend, Lori. She used to call me, and actually it was Sarah, and she would call me, and she says, "Hey, Pastor Tom, you're in my heart today." And I would be like, "Wow, Sarah, you have no idea." And of course, I couldn't always tell her what was going on. Sometimes I could, especially with my own personal stuff. But man, we speak into other people. It's such a gift. We've been given that gift to speak into other people. And that's what Paul is doing with Timothy. He's speaking into his life. And we're going to start with verse 18 of 1 Timothy. There's two different letters to Timothy from Paul. The first letter of Timothy, verse 18, chapter 1, says, "Timothy, my son." Timothy, my son. You're my son. You're like my very own child. I see you. I hear you. I mentor you. I walk with you. I feel your pain. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight, that you may fight the battle well. The prophecies. See, before Paul met Timothy, Timothy's mother and grandmother talked about him, and they knew God had a special plan for Timothy. And Timothy went on to run the church, and he went on to pour into other people. He went on to do great things. I think I've told you guys before about the time Arlene said to me, and she said, this is when I was raw, man. I was green. I was naive. I didn't even know the Lord very well. And Arlene said, Tom, you're going to do a great thing for God. And I'm like, great thing for God. I even hardly know God. How am I going to do a great thing for God? You're going to be crazy. But I've come to find out that it wasn't one thing. It was many things, and it continues to be things. And I've spoke this out before in the church, and I'm going to tell you that God's going to do great things in your life, and is already doing great things. There's a ripple effect that you can't even understand as you pour into one another. We talked about that yesterday at the prayer breakfast of the men's group of the pastors I go and see, and lay people for that matter as well. And we just talked about how God uses us, all of us, pastors and people in the church, and we painted this vision of everybody equipped and everybody utilized and everybody empowered and everybody moving and being intentional. And that was the word, it was intentional. As we were being intentional about pouring into and being intentional about, hey, can I pray for you? And so that's what Paul's doing with Timothy. He's helping him become intentional. There's prophecies about him. He's been picked. He's been called. You have been called. And you've been called to fight a good fight. What is this battle? What is this battle? We know what the battle is. It's going on. It's raging all around us. It's raging inside of us. It's raging all over the newscasts, all over the web pages, all over the world. It's a battle between truth and lies. Jesus, our King of King, that we, CeCe Winans, I love that song. She just got done singing about how he is the King of King, merciful and mighty and all powerful, but he's also the truth. And our enemy is all lies and deception. There's somebody that Debbie's daughter sent to her, Jelly Roll. And you guys may know who he is, but he's becoming quite popular. I think he won The Voice or something, but he's becoming quite popular. But he's a man of God. And he even got a cross on his cheek, man. I'm not all into tattoos, like I've said before, but he's got a cross on his cheek. How cool is that? I mean, that's just really displaying that he believes in the Lord. And he's got a song called Liar. Liar. The enemy is a liar. He's a liar about you. He's a liar about me. He's a liar about this world. He's a liar about the Lord. So that's the battle. That's the battle that Timothy is getting ready for, that Paul is preparing him. And Paul goes on and says, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. So he's saying, he's warning, he's actually warning. This is a different kind of a prophecy. He's warning him not to get shipwrecked, like some have gotten shipwrecked, that some have let their faith go. And he says that the key is your conscience. Let your conscience guide you, I think is the saying, right? Let your conscience, your conscience speaks to you. And as we become deeper and deeper with the Lord, our conscience gets more and more sensitive. Have you ever noticed that? The things that didn't bother you maybe a year or two ago, all of a sudden really bug you about yourself or bother you as far as your conscience telling you, well, that wasn't quite right. You didn't speak quite right to that person. You didn't do the exact thing you should have done. And little by little, we are being purified. We are being made holy through our conscience. Paul is talking to Timothy about let your conscience guide you. Because your conscience, where is that? What is that? Where does it come from? I believe it comes from God. I believe that God is speaking to us through our conscience. And we have many scriptures that really do point to that. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. We need to, our faith and our conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Wow, what in the world is going on there? Handing over to the enemy, to the lies. It's always a slippery slope. It's always like we start. It's like I was just reading as we're in that 1 year Bible about the Pharaoh thing, okay? The guy gets shot after shot after shot to let the people go. I mean, I saw new nuances I hadn't seen before about the frogs and the gnats coming out of dust. I didn't realize they came out of dust, man. They just threw some dust in the air and they all became gnats and all over everybody. I mean, but and the blood, not just the water to the blood, but blood was everywhere from the water of the Nile. And I mean, shot after shot, chance after chance that the Pharaoh had, and he keeps getting his heart hardened. And nope, I'm not letting him go. Not letting him go. Not letting him go. And I think that's what's going on here as well. Paul has been working with these guys, and he's been trying to tell them, don't blaspheme. And remember who Paul is. Paul used to be Saul. And Saul went around throwing everybody in prison and persecuting everybody and blaspheming the Lord without even knowing it. So he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's seeing. And he's warning Timothy because, we walk that line. We walk that line every day, don't we? Between that flesh and that spirit, who's it going to be about? God or Tom? God or you? I mean, who's coming first? And it is a spiritual battle each and every moment. He says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Wow, in this political landscape that we are in, we really need to hear this. People are so up in arms about who's in office and what is this party doing or that party and how are we being deceived or what's going on in this world. And to tell you the truth, we'll never really know because they don't really always tell us. But what we do know is what Scripture tells us. And Scripture tells us we are to pray for our leaders. We are all to offer up petitions for our leaders. And he says, for kings and all those in authority that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In other words, even if somebody's opposing us, even if we don't see the same way, even if we don't have the same viewpoint, we should be praying for them. That's that prophecy of prophesizing into somebody's life and praying for somebody that they will know God, that they will just know God. That the greatest gift we can give anyone is that they would know Jesus, regardless of where they're walking at right now. And even as we lift up our leaders, what will we get if they find God is we'll get peace. We'll get an end to some of this battle of these lies and deception. And so regardless of if you like the president, you don't like the president or the senator or whoever it may be, pray for them. Pray for the people in the churches, the leaders of the churches, pray for them. Pray for each other. Offer up petitions of saying, hey, this person needs this. That's what we do every time we do our prayer requests. Intercession that we are interceding, that we're standing in that gap. And thanksgiving as we give our praise, as we say, well, look at Laura. She's got a breath again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm reading all this stuff about worry these days. And regret, worry, regret. Wow, those are just devastating things in our lives. And I'm back to Dale Carnegie. I love that man. His book, How to Influence People, everybody should read that book. It's really about how to treat people and how to treat ourselves that we don't have to worry and fret and be in despair because we have the King of Kings. We have God on our side. And we are to pray for one another and lift each other up and encourage. He says that this is good and pleases God our Savior. To please God. Is it really that simple? To please God. I'm going to treat this person this way or that way. Is that pleasing to God? I'm going to do this or that in business. Is that pleasing to God? I'm gonna dedicate some time and effort to somebody else. Is that pleasing to God? If that's our measuring stick, that's really the only measuring stick we really need because sin is when we don't please God. And remember what I said earlier, it's not about blame. It's not about being sinless. It's about being blameless. He loves us so much that he leaves us blameless. Even when we really have a lot to be blamed for. But because of God, we're blameless. Perfect. Holy. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The truth. What is the truth? I like to ask a lot of questions. What is the truth? And if we try to discern the truth of this world right now, we're going to have a heck of a time. First of all, our media is out of control, and it's all biased, and it's really hard to get a source. And then there's that confirmation bias thing that we'll find truth that confirms already what we already think. And so we all fall into that. I was reading that Dale Guernicke book about, you know, worry and how not to worry, is that we tend to do this. And man, he pegged that back, and that book was written in like the 70s, I think, man. He pegged it way back then that we were already in confirmation bias. Now we have a word for it. We call it confirmation bias, but it's been around for a long time, that we find what we think is the truth to confirm what we already think. But there's really, you know, it's really simple, because with God, everything is very, very simple. There's only one truth, and that truth is our King of Kings, and that's what the Word tells us, that Jesus is the truth. He's the only truth. The truth we have in this book, in this Bible right here, this is truth. We have to interpret it, but it's all truth. And the lies are, you know it. It's when that conscience is bugging you. It's when, you know, you get that feeling like something's not right. When you don't feel completely good about yourself. Maybe it's a little bit of a regret of how you talked to somebody or what you did. We know what that conscience. I think of, again, that Disney. And Disney was another great man that, you know, and I believe he's also a man of God, because you can see it in the original Disney, the cartoons and things, that he's trying to teach morals to these kids and helping kids, like Mr. Rogers. I was just reading about him again too. They asked him like what did he think of the portrayal that Eddie Murphy did, and I gotta admit, Eddie Murphy was funny, of what he did with his portrayal of Mr. Rogers. And he said, well, Mr. Rogers is so cool. He says, well, really, some of the things he said weren't very nice. but, you know, he also had some good meaning points. And so he would see a balance. You know, Mr. Rogers was a minister kind of guy, man. He just loved kids. He loved people. Paul goes on, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. The man, Christ Jesus. God loves us so much that he gave us his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life with God. I'm going to put in with God there. That we will have life with God forever and ever. That we have one mediator. We only need one mediator. We don't need a whole bunch of them. We don't need a whole bunch of people to go to. We have the answer. God has given us everything we need. And then he's written it all in the Word so that we can actually go through it. I'm so proud of everybody who's doing that one-year Bible thing, man. And for those of you who want to join, you still can. You know, we're only in the beginning of Exodus right now, but we're going to go through this for the whole year, and it's going to change us, because the Word will change us. I think that's one thing that Paul is pouring into Timothy. It's just, you know, look at the Word. It'll guide you. Look at Jesus. He'll give you the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. A ransom. Paid the debt. You know, a ransom of whatever it took to save my very soul. Whatever it took to save your very, whatever it takes to save everyone's very soul. Jesus is the ransom. He is the price paid. I don't understand all the logistics of this thing. I'm going to tell you, I've been pondering this again. And how does all this work? I can't even say the word. How do we say it, Mary?
Perpetuate?
Perpetuation?
Propitiation.
What is it?
Propitiation.
Propitiation. I see I'm still messing it up. Thank you, Neil. Listen to Neil. This idea that Jesus paid everything for us, this idea that he is the substitute. Man, there's so much. Read Hebrews. Hebrews will take you deep. And finally, the last verse. And for this purpose, I love this. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. A herald. We're going to get back to that. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. So Paul is going around and he's bringing those who are not of the Israelites, of the Jewish faith, into the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is doors open wide for everybody. But he says, I am a herald. So what I really want to talk about today is being the prophecy of your life and being a herald. What does it mean to be a herald? When you think about somebody who is acting as a herald, and that is proclaiming, I guess you could think of a pastor, you could think of a preacher, you could think of a speaker, you could think of somebody giving the message, you could think of everybody doing worship, you can think of our worship team, you can think of Julia and Mary and LaWanda, you can think of all these individuals that are praising God, and it's a herald. It's kind of like that song we just heard that from CeCe Winans, that if the rocks and the trees and everyone else is proclaiming, I'm not going to be overstepped by them. I'm going to be proclaiming. We're going to all, the rocks are giving a herald proclaiming. But herald also means angel. Angels proclaiming. I'm in the book of Revelation in that BSF thing, that Bible Study Fellowship. And it's all heralds of all these living creatures and all the earth and all heaven proclaiming all at once, everybody, everything. And I swear if we could just open our eyes, we would see right now, as I look out at the window at my home and I see trees covered with snow, this Ansel Adam kind of look. It is a herald to God. God says, if you just look at my creation, it testifies to who I am. As you look out today, I heard somebody say they want to go out and go take some photographs. As you go out there and look at what we've got going on here, it's so beautiful. You know, you go out to Florida, you go to other places, and they don't get this. They don't see this. And the air is so crisp in the winter. As Sandy was telling me on Texas, she's going to go out and about. I said, be safe. But, you know, she loves the winter. I love the winter. I love all four seasons. And all of it is a proclamation to God. And so we are like angels. And we are speaking into other lives. We are prophesizing into other lives. We are being a herald for God in the church. The church is a herald for God. Paul is saying, I am an apostle. I am sent and I am a herald. And he's saying, hey, Timothy, you're going to be a herald. And I say to you today, God has great things in store for you and has already had done many, many things through you. You are a herald for God. I want you to carry that this week. I want you to go sing to somebody. And if you're like me, you might be a little out of tune. But I want you to speak into somebody's life this week. I want you to go and tell them about God this week. I want you to tell them what God's done in your life this week. I want us to be a herald. We painted the picture. CeCe Wine has also talked about that, all the colors. There's not enough colors to make a picture. There's not enough paint. There's not enough imagination to imagine what God is and what he does. But as we go and speak into somebody's life, that spark of imagination comes alive in them and they see God. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's for the umpteenth time. Maybe it's they've heard this message before, and maybe this time it settles in. And maybe this time is the time that they give their life. Maybe this is that precipice that they're on that's just going to change over everything. And maybe you'll be the difference. Because I'm speaking into your life right now. I'm prophesizing into your life, and I'm prophesizing into that life that you speak into. Because this is the way God has set it up. This is the way Jesus poured into his 12, which ended up being 11, but back to 12 again, that he poured into them so they would pour into others who would pour into others, so that we could be a herald for God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you use our voice, that you use our bodies, you use our minds, that you use our encouragement, that you use every piece of us, so that we can encourage somebody else and bring somebody else to know you. We ask to be heralds this week. That we ask that you, the prophecy into our lives becomes the reality of our lives as we speak in. We ask to see a little bit of that ripple effect. We ask to see truth and not lies. And the truth that you are using us, that you love us, that we are blameless.